Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Jason Lipschutz, and I'm an associate editor and the Pop Shop blog editor of Billboard.com. Based in New York, on the other line in Los Angeles, is the UB40 to my Sean Kingston. Keith Caulfield, how's it going, Keith?
I'm good, and I have a glass of red, red wine with a beautiful girl standing right next to me.
Really? That's enviable.
Very unlike me, because I don't drink red wine, and, well, yeah.
You don't drink red wine? Aww.
I mean, I will if you serve it to me, but I prefer white wine.
Well, I am standing next to an eeny, meeny, miny, mo lover, of course, because I'm Sean Kingston. No,
because you can't help falling in love.
I can't. We're talking about reggae pop artists with notable reggae pop smashes, because we are going to be talking about Omi on the Hot 100, number one this week. And it's a fun week, man, because not only is number one Omi's cheerleader, but Omi stopped by the Pop Shop Podcast, actually literally less than an hour ago, before we're taping this, to talk about cheerleader hitting number one and everything about the unexpected rise of this song in the U.S. Really great chat. We will get to that in a second. Keith, we're also going to be talking about a couple moves on the Hot 100 by the weekend and Fetty Wap, some soon-to-be hits. Louis Tomlinson's going to be a dad. We're going to get to that.
I thought you were going to say Louis Tomlinson's going to be a guest on the show. I'm like, can you imagine?
Someday.
Internet melts.
Hey, I got that Louis retweet. Why not? Let's make it happen. Hot 100 Fest, which is coming up next month. We wanted to talk about it last week, but we were still like a day away from announcing the lineup, so now we can actually talk about it because the lineup's out. We will be talking about next week's show, which is our 100th episode, and some other housekeeping stuff as well. Keith, before we get into it, just a heads up. If you love the Pop Shop Podcast, like we love the Pop Shop Podcast, subscribe to it on iTunes so you never ever miss an episode. Give us a rating or a review on iTunes. We always appreciate it. Hit us up on Twitter. He is at Keith_Caulfield. I am at Jason Lipschutz. And go to iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts for more Billboard Podcasts. Keith, are you ready to rock and roll?
Yes.
All right, man. I'm going to start this show by patting myself on the back a little bit, because Cheerleader's number one. It knocks off See You Again by Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth, which was number one for 12 weeks. We've been talking a lot about Cheerleader, and for those who have been listening to the show for the past couple weeks, even the past month or two, they know that I've been, you know, riding that Cheerleader train very hard, and, you know,
choo-choo
indeed.
It's
so,
the Omi train. Come on, ride the train.
And you know you love Omi.
You know you love Omi.
No, but I just
suddenly I'm doing Cameo. Word up. Ow. Never mind.
I thought you were doing Quad City DJs. Saying.
Well, I started with Quad City DJs, you know, come on, ride the train, but it has that ow ow sound.
Ride that,
which segues
train
right into like Cameo. Word up. Ow. Is the code word Jason? Anyway, back to you.
I love the early to mid 90s hits. Keith, so Omi hits number one. And See You Again is out of number one. And before we're getting to Omi himself later in the show, but let's talk about See You Again, which was, like I said, number one for 12 weeks.
Do we have to talk about See You Again? Really? Still again?
I wanted to ask that because it was number one for so long, it's still number two, probably still has a great shot at Song of the Summer, correct?
Yeah, I would imagine so. I mean, just it's one of those things. Song of the Summer, of course, is the chart that we publish on a weekly basis here at Billboard.com. And at the end of the summer, we have a big recap of the biggest songs of the summer, as we do every summer. And, of course, Jason and I earlier this year talked about who we thought would be the songs of the summer. And I think Jason might be doing slightly better than me in his predictions.
I don't know. I think we're pretty even because you said See You Again. I said
See
Omi.
You Again would be the song of the summer, yeah.
So,
and you said Omi, so.
Hey, we're pretty smart, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, See You Again has such a huge head start that I think, you know, it's going to be tough to knock it off its perch, but you never know.
All you need is
a cheerleader by your side.
Indeed. Meanwhile, The Weeknd continues to kill it on the Hot 100. Can't Feel My Face moves up three spots to number three now. And
yeah, Jason, I can't feel my face when I'm with you.
Aw, but I love it. I feel like you're a big fan of Can't Feel My Face. It's kind of great, right?
It's such a good song.
So good. It's
so good.
This is it. We are witnessing the Weeknd crossover moment. Which
the ascension of the Weeknd.
Yeah.
It's like certifiable pop star.
Yeah, it's like he's a huge deal, and we're going to get to...
When Taylor Swift brings you up on stage at a concert to sing... Can't Feel My Face. That's a moment, you know?
Yeah. Taylor Swift's been bringing out the A-listers lately. She brought out Lorde in Washington, D.C. She brought out Jason Derulo Tuesday night. And, you know, she's got a pretty sizable Rolodex, I guess, that Taylor Swift.
I think, not to hijack your entire train of thought here, but I think there's a story on Billboard.com that we could do where it says, who else would we like to see partner up for a surprise duet on Taylor Swift's tour?
Man, I think like the Lorde one was pretty cool, but I don't know. I don't know who else. I feel like Sheeran's coming, like because you know they're such good friends. Opened on the last tour, so
has that never happened before? Like,
Not on this tour yet.
Okay,
but
I'm waiting for please welcome Janet Jackson. I mean, if she can bring out J-Lo. I'm totally waiting for like the Madonna cameo, the Janet cameo, you know, out drops, you know. I mean, her taste in music is so all over the map that it could be anyone, any night.
Well, it was pretty cool. I did not go to see her near New York, but a lot of my colleagues did, and she brought out the U.S. Women's soccer team, and which was a pretty cool moment. Anyway, back to the Hot 100. Like I said, Can't Feel My Face doing at number three, doing really well. Meanwhile, The Hills by The Weeknd up to number 12, so he might have two top 10 hits next week. To follow, another top 10 hit from earlier this year, Earned It, from the 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack. It's been an incredible run for The Weeknd to, you know, 4 years ago was this mysterious guy releasing mixtapes and never having press photos of himself taken. Meanwhile, Keith... Fetty Wap, our friend Fetty Wap, another guy playing the Hot 100 Festival, has another top 20 hit. 679 zooms to number 19, up 15 spots. So for those,
Did we mention that The Weeknd is headlining the Hot 100 Festival?
We did.
Did we actually say those words? Okay.
I just skipped over that in my brain. But yes, The Weeknd, and we'll get to the Hot 100 Festival. But yeah, The Weeknd is a headliner. I can't wait for this. I can't wait to. Can't Feel My Face.
It's like, you can't wait to have your face melt off. What?
Yeah.
By Weeknd headlining the show.
Yeah. I feel like,
continue.
You know, he's a headliner, and I feel like he's earned it. Anyway, Fetty Wap now has his second top 20 hit. So 679. He is quickly establishing himself as someone, you know, we've talked about it on this show before, how the second hit is almost as important as the first hit, just in terms of establishing longevity. You don't want to be in a situation like a band like Magic, where you have Rude as a number one smash, but struggling to follow it up. You want to kind of keep your foot in the door when it gets there, and it seems like Fetty Wap's doing a pretty good job of that.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I agree.
Anything else? before we get to soon to be hits, anything else stand out to you on the Hot 100 this week, man?
Well, you know, I mean, it was kind of, this is like this chart week is kind of like a crazy transition chart.
That's
week.
That's true.
We're dealing with what we talked about last week on the show, so I won't go into lurid detail. But we now have this Friday release day, this global release day where everything comes out on Fridays now. And because of that, we've switched up our tracking weeks a little bit. So all the charts that you see on Billboard.com that are dated July 25th, they're all this transition chart, basically. So if they look a little weird, it's because we're kind of in like a weird sort of kind of quasi-holding pattern, especially on the album charts. So everything will be kind of back to normal in a way starting next week, especially with the album charts. But yeah, if you guys are looking at any of the charts and you're wondering, this looks a little funny, well, that's why. It's because we're in this weird sort of hinterlands in between tracking periods and this whole global release day stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely a change, but this week has been kind of cool because we had like two different Hot 100 charts within like the span of 5 days, and I was like, ah, all right.
Yeah, yeah. The charts that we're talking about in this podcast actually went up on our website on Tuesday, 2 days ago, and we actually broke, you know, what the top 10 albums were last Saturday. So the schedules, we're getting used to this whole new schedule and the timing of stuff. So we're working out the kinks. Everything will be really cool and copacetic in the next couple weeks.
Absolutely. Before we get to soon to be hits as well, speaking of global release dates, should we talk about just in terms of housekeeping the Pop Shop podcast moving forward and how it's, I've gotten a ton of questions. Have you gotten a ton of questions on Twitter and whatnot about the Pop Shop podcast shifting days to kind of reflect global release date?
No, perhaps people are talking or asking you more because they know that you're in charge.
That's not true. You're the chart master. I'm not in charge.
I've gotten lots of questions about, like on Saturday, I was getting questions from people saying, hey, where's your story? You said it'd be posted on the website. It ran late and it posted Sunday morning. So that's how things are so crazy this week. Yeah, I think Jason, the safe thing to say is that we're looking at moving when the podcast actually posts on the website soon.
Yeah, I think that here's the party line as of right now. I think we're going to try out posting it on Tuesday mornings instead of Thursday mornings, just because what we like to do is we usually tape this on Wednesdays right when the charts come out, so we can mix in music and toss in an interview and get the Pop Shop podcast all ready for Thursday morning posting on Billboard.com and on iTunes. But moving forward, actually, we're going to have another Thursday show next week just for the 100th episode. We don't want to screw anybody up. So that's going to be posted next Thursday, the 23rd. So look for it on iTunes. We'll talk about that later in the show. But I think the week after that, which is, if I'm doing my math correct, the 28th would be that Tuesday, is probably going to be the first Tuesday to feature a new Pop Shop podcast, and then it's going to be on Tuesdays moving forward, so we don't get backtracked on and start talking about half-week-old charts. And I think it's the right move, man, and I hope everyone listening, I hope that doesn't screw up, you know, your expectations of the Pop Shop podcast. Maybe you look forward to it on Thursdays. Now you can look forward to it every Tuesday. Keith, anyway, let's do it, man. So we're talking about the Hot 100. Let's talk about a couple songs that are not in the top 20, not in the top 40, not even in the top 60, if there is such a thing, but they could be there soon enough. That is why we call these Soon to Be Hits. All right, man. We got two soon to be hits, and you know what? I will go first if you don't mind.
Oh, hey, all right.
Wow, I didn't know you were going to be that animated about me going first, but I love it.
I'm doing my best, Matthew McConaughey.
So on this week's Hot 100 chart, the song "Do It Again" from Pia Mia featuring Chris Brown and Tyga moves up 9 spots, 86 to number 77. Pia Mia is a singer-songwriter from Guam, and Do It Again is a song. It is her first official single, came out in May. She is on Interscope, and obviously this is a song that is a lot of fun. It's a very rhythmic single. It sounds like a hit. It sounds like a summery hit. It features, obviously, Chris Brown and Tyga, who've worked extensively together in the past, and it is slowly creeping up. Now number 77, so one to keep an eye on. Check it out. Fun song. I'm not a huge Chris Brown fan, not a huge Tyga fan, but I really like the energy that Pia Mia gives this track. So check out "Do It Again."
Woohoo!
Woo-hoo. Hey yo!
I just like making weird sounds with my voice. Don't know what I'm doing.
I love
it. It's my turn, though, isn't it?
It is, man. Yeah. It's you're up. You're up to bat.
You're like Icona Pop. Sort of ish. they love it.
Anyway. I got you. Don't worry.
Yeah. So my soon to be hit is by a band that's actually been around and kicking around on the Billboard charts since 2006. It's a band called Need to Breathe. They have a song called Brother, which features Gavin DeGraw on vocals, joining the band on vocals. It's a song that's actually more than a year old. It's been number one for the past 9 weeks on our Hot Christian Songs chart, but it's finally crossing over to mainstream audiences. The song is charting on our Adult Pop Songs chart, and it's currently in, I believe, its second week on the Hot 100 chart. It's down towards the bottom of the chart, actually. It is, heaven help me, I don't know where it is, but I'll tell you in a second. Oh, hey, look, it goes 100 to 98. I know that isn't terribly exciting in terms of chart positions, but Need to Breathe has been around for a while, but they've never actually had a Hot 100 hit until
That's amazing to me, just because they've been around for such a long time.
Well, it's one of those things where a lot of acts that have a lot of success on our Christian charts or gospel charts don't usually cross over to mainstream audiences. So this is, they're having a big moment. This song has kind of, I want to say, like a Kings of Leon kind of uplifting, like sort of whoosh feel to it.
It's all about the
name of the song. It gives you some contextual clues. Brother, it's kind of like, you know, I'll support you, and like we're all here, we're all in it together kind of vibe. But I think you might like it. I surprisingly like the song, and I'm not super familiar with Need to Breathe. So anyway, there you go. There's your other soon-to-be hit. It's Need to Breathe, Brother, featuring Gavin DeGraw. Their first Hot 100 hit.
Woohoo! Very cool. Piamia and Need to Breathe on Soon-to-Be Hits. All right, man, we got to talk a little bit about One Direction because they have had a busy week. It's been a busy week for 1D.
There's a baby D on the way.
A little baby D.
Baby Direction.
Yeah, it's. I was shocked by this. Louis Tomlinson is going to be a father.
I was going to say, Mike, we should say Louis Tomlinson, a member of One Direction. He hasn't actually said anything as of this point, but who knows by the time people hear this. He hasn't actually said anything publicly, but it has been confirmed through sources that he's going to be a dad.
Indeed, we did confirm through sources that he is going to be a dad. People.com ran a very extensive story about it. Friend says that he will be a, quote, hands-on dad, end quote.
As opposed to one of those hands-off dads that are such deadbeats, yeah, right?
Exactly.
I like the way it's like, he's going to be a hands-on dad. Well, what's the other option? He just gives away the kid for, like, adoption?
I know. Just wants to clarify.
He's going to be a really attentive father. But he's really going to pay attention to the kid. Well, of course he is.
Brianna Jungwirth are expecting their first baby together early next year. Supposedly very happy about it. And, you know, first of all, congrats to Louis if he's listening. Seriously, it's amazing news. And Keith, just from, we got to go away from the personal aspect and just talk about the pop aspect because we are the Pop Shop Podcast. How do you think this affects One Direction's future? Now, when Zayn left, the four remaining members were all about staying together and continuing them to tour and make music. Do you think this affects One Direction in a way that's it's going to slow down? It's even more clear that it's going to slow down?
Not really. I don't think it makes a huge amount of difference, a perceptible difference, I think, to the audience. It comes down to who's doing the bulk of the heavy lifting when it comes to being pregnant? Oh, I don't know, the mom. So, if this were a girl group and, like, someone in, like, say, Fifth Harmony or Little Mix, you know, became pregnant, well, that could really change the typical expectations of a member of a girl group if you happen to be pregnant. When you're the dad, you know, he'll probably take some time off, maternity leave, whatever you'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
And if this is supposed to happen early next year, then that would in theory be when they're doing their normal promotion cycle, supporting the album that will probably come out in November-ish. You expect the new album will probably come out.
You have to assume, yeah.
So, like, you know, at that point, they're probably doing the normal promo run of, like, TV shows and award shows and making music videos. So it might be a good time for him to take a little bit of time off, step away. You know, I think this will be, you know, probably, you know, they have bigger issues. Like, they lost a member of the group named Zane. So, I mean,
Where'd he go?
They've got a lot of stuff on their plate. They lost him. Hey. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think this will be a huge like wrench in the system?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it's a wrench, but I'm kind of reading the tea leaves on this. And again, they haven't said anything. It's business as usual, just in terms of the group, and that's what I'm gonna assume is what, you know, when they start making statements about this, it's gonna be something along the lines of that. But I do think, you know, you got to put yourself in the shoes of Louis Tomlinson. And, you know, you've spent...
They're lined with money and gold.
They are lined with money and gold. You have spent the past half decade doing music and supporting that music nonstop. And now, early 2016, you're going to be a father. I don't think it's unreasonable to say, we gotta slow this down. Like...
Well, they've been on like a nonstop pop train that hasn't they've barely had any time off. So that could give them a nice break, you know, a nice significant break, you know.
Yeah,
we'll see. I suppose.
And you know, it's hard because once these things slow down, we've seen with other boy bands in the past. Once these things slow down, it's hard to start them back up. Yeah, exactly. They often stop or they just. Completely lose that sort of pop culture interest. You know, Backstreet Boys after Black and Blue took about a 5-year break between before 2005's Never Gone. And
then they returned as the Backstreet Men, and well, that has a different connotation to it altogether.
Yeah, and you know, this is the reality for them. It's either continue to press on or, you know, have a reality check, really. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I agree with you that we're going to see another album most likely before the end of the year. That's what they've said months ago, and
they were out in LA recording it. You know, when they were at the Billboard Awards, they were out here recording it. So I would imagine most of it's probably kind of done and in the can.
Yeah.
Or at least in portions of it are probably in finished. So, you know, they're busy with that tour. I look forward to seeing what they might say on stage about anything. I think they're in Seattle next. I think that might be tonight or tomorrow, depending on when you guys hear this podcast. Yeah.
So congrats again to Louis and Brianna. Very cool news. Meanwhile, Zane, speaking of the former 1D, Zane was fighting with Naughty Boy on Twitter earlier this week, so it doesn't look like there's any love lost there. Oh, Zane. Anyway, Keith, let's move on to...
I was like, how's Niall doing? Is Niall doing all right?
Niall's doing great. By the way, I guess I should mention that it is Boy Band Week on Billboard.com. And
I know. What perfect timing, Louis. Thank you.
Seriously, man. No, we've been doing a lot of great stuff. If you're listening to this on Thursday, you're smack dab in the middle of Boy Band Week. We've been doing a ton of fun stuff. We have a boy band fantasy draft, as we always do. We have lists upon lists of the best boy band songs, the most
boy
underrated.
Boy band fantasy draft.
Yeah.
Like, is that like, how does that work? Is that like an interactive thing where I can, like, you know, pick like my fantasy, you know, group has, you know, Justin Timberlake, Michael Jackson, and Nick Carter?
Unfortunately, it is not an interactive fantasy draft. We in the Billboard New York office had our own boy band fantasy draft. All the
Oh, it's just one of those things where you don't include me again, so I wasn't on the phone call. Is that what happened?
You had to be in New York, man. We were all in like a boardroom.
Oh my god, like you included me when we did like that big Madonna round table.
It's true. I guess
denied.
We could have piped you in
again.
No, come on. I would have loved to have you in the boy band fantasy draft, but it would have been too hard. It's all visual. We had a big board, a big whiteboard. I guess I could have like FaceTimed
with
you.
Taking people down off the board and stuff.
Exactly.
Well, it doesn't
exactly.
mean that you couldn't have tried.
I know.
Next time. I could have been on like a video conference. Anyway, so is that story already up online? Can people see that?
It is already up online. Check that out on Billboard.com, and we'll have more fun stuff from Boy Band Week.
Who's your favorite boy band?
Well, one of the things we did in the first day of Boy Band Week, which was Monday, was we had a great debate between myself and Aaron Strecker, another pop editor at Billboard.com. Backstreet Boys versus NSYNC. I repped hard for Backstreet Boys. She repped hard for NSYNC. We traded emails basically for like a day and a half about which one was the superior turn of the millennium boy band. So check that out as well on Billboard.com. Backstreet Boys.
So
are
your favorite boy band is Backstreet Boys. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Who's yours?
Okay. I don't have a favorite boy band. I guess I sort of have a quasi favored group that is not actually a boy band, because there's a whole segment of sort of young guys who are all in a group, but they play instruments, so we don't call them boy bands, even though they technically actually are, by definition, bands with boys in them.
It's true.
Like 5 Seconds of Summer, they aren't really a proper boy band, but they're kind of like a boy band. And there's a story that we have online about how they're kind of like a newfangled boy band, like the best kind of boy band that there is or something.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
No, yeah. It was a great story as well. All part of Boy Band Week. Yeah.
And I'll say this and I'll move on. I like McFly. I've talked about them a lot.
Oh yeah, you do like McFly. Are you
a UK band? Yeah.
Are you a Westlife fan?
I
feel like you'd be a Westlife, yeah.
Or Take That. Westlife.
Either or.
Really much of a Westlife person.
Not.
I'm slightly more aware of Take That's music. I actually know a handful of their songs.
Well, there you go, man.
Both British boy bands. Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the Hot 100 Festival, and because I'm so excited about this. Billboard is having a Hot 100 Music Festival August 22nd and 23rd.
We're having a festival.
At
a full-on festival, like a Lollapalooza like type thing.
Basically,
like
it's going to be 2 days
weird.
At Nikon.
It's cool.
Yeah, no, man. I got to get you out. I hope you can come out for it.
Hey, you got the budget? I got the time. I don't know. We'll see if it works out.
I'll buy your plane ticket right after this. August 22nd.
It's at Nikon Jones Beach.
Nikon at Jones Beach Theater in New York, August 22nd and 23rd. The headliners are The Weeknd, Skrillex, Nicki Minaj, Lil Wayne, Axwell and Ingrosso, Kygo, Jason Derulo, and a very special performance by Justin Bieber. And it's funny because there's a lot more on this lineup in terms of the performers over the 2 days.
Betty Who?
Yeah,
Kaisa,
what I was going to say, right? Is a lot of Pop Shop podcast friends. You got Betty Who, MKTO, Rin Weaver's been
Natalie
LaRose,
right?
Kaisa. Yeah, man, Little Mix. The mixers are pumped for Little Mix at the Hot 100 Festival. I will say that.
It's a 2 day festival, right?
2 day festival. I believe tickets are going on sale. Yes, they are tomorrow. By the time you hear this, they will be on sale, 10 a.m. Eastern, July 16th, at LiveNation.com. So go. I will be there. Hopefully, Keith will be there as well.
Maybe next year we'll actually have 100 acts play the Hot 100 Festival.
Ooh.
We don't have 100 this year.
Yeah,
but I think
we have around 40.
It would make sense if we had 100 acts.
Maybe
next year. We have the top 40 acts playing the Hot 100.
All right, man. We got to get to Omi again. Omi, number one this week with Cheerleader, Jamaican artist who put out a version of Cheerleader in 2012. Now, 3 years later, after the song has taken over multiple countries, it finally has taken over the U.S. He was a great interview, great guy. Very interesting take on how the song came together and the lyrics of the song. So here's Omi on the Pop Shop Podcast.
Yeah, she is always in my corner, right there when I wanna. All these other girls are tempting.
Omi, thanks for stopping by the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast.
It's my absolute
man.
Pleasure, man. It's my pleasure. How are you?
I'm good. I'm thrilled because here's the thing. This is going up on our podcast, and for the last couple weeks on our podcast, I've been saying Cheerleader is going to be a huge hit, and my co-host has been rolling his eyes basically and being like, not the song's not going to be a huge hit, but
right.
He's like, why, like this song, he was like, this song's a number like 60 right now, what, it's at
right,
number
right.
47, like why, and I was like, no, this is going to be massive, and
wow.
My question to you is, this song has been massive in so many parts of the world, did you have an inkling like that it was going to happen in the U.S. eventually?
I mean, like over 52 countries.
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. And, U.S. is so close to Jamaica. You know, in terms of how Americanized we are, you know, we are so in the loop with everything that's happening here. And, you know, every artist, I think, aspire to, you know, have their big break in America. You know, so this has always been like one of the places on my agenda. Like, I really, really want to be, you know, known here in America. So when I heard that, you know, I was number one, and the single went platinum, and everything was so hard to digest all at once, you know, because it was such good news. I mean, it was just an overwhelming feeling.
Yeah, I can't even imagine. Did you grow up listening to like U.S. pop radio?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm telling you, Jamaica is so.
Well, yeah, it's right
definitely,
there.
Definitely, you know.
Who were some of your favorite artists growing up?
Well, I was mostly into hip hop, especially in my high school years. You
nice.
Know, I listened to all the greats, you know, Tupac, Biggie, Eminem, Jay-Z, you name it. And, you know, I was so fascinated, you know, with the culture and everything. You know, so U.S. was always like, you know, that target. Like, yeah, I really want to be known in the U.S. for my music.
So you have this song that's a hit. For those who are listening and don't know, this mm-hmm. song came out 3 years ago.
Yeah. It's a long
it's been
time.
In a while. Yeah. I mean, like, to give people perspective, like, Mitt Romney was, like, running for president when this song came out. And, like, you know, it's been a while.
I know. I mean, you know, but there was so much hard work, you know, being put in behind the curtains, you know what I mean? And a lot of people wouldn't see that. You know, they are saying that the song came from out of nowhere, but actually, you know, we've seen it grown over a period of time. And I think that's a beautiful thing. It's a journey that I wouldn't trade, you know, for anything.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed every moment of it, and it makes this point even more rewarding, you know?
Well, I'm sure that, I mean, first of all, the song was a hit when it came out, just not in the U.S. initially. And I'm sure that you were
very
in a
limited countries. As a matter of fact, just Jamaica.
Yeah, Jamaica.
Dubai, maybe, and Hawaii.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like Jamaica and then Hawaii somehow latched onto it, too.
You know,
it's funny how that happened.
So that was crazy. And, you know, it just went viral, like, you know, on YouTube and those other medias. And, you know, I saw kids doing cover versions of it. So we knew it had the potential to do, like, really well. You know, because, I don't know, kids have, like, a sixth sense.
Yeah.
On when a song is going to be a hit, and they kind of give you their stamp of approval, you know, and you can go off, you know, based on that. So we knew that the song had the potential to do well. So when Felix and I got signed to Ultra, 2013? And Felix Yen, he's with Ultra. He, you know, they were on board with the project. They loved the song. They wanted to do a remix. They actually did two. There was a Ricky Blaze version. Mm-hmm. There was a Felix Yen version. And I like both of them, but I found Felix Yen's version to be, you know, true to the essence of the song, you know, because while you want to get people dancing, you still want, you know, them to understand what this is about and feel a sense of, you know, intimacy as it relates to the song. And I think he achieved that very well. He still kept it popping, but it's still relatable.
He put his own little flip on it.
Of course.
What I was going to ask is, it's interesting to hear the steps that it took to get to that point, because, you know, you're a musician. Mm-hmm. You put out a song. It's a hit in a couple different places. But I'm sure there's a point where it's like, all right, it's been a year. It's been a year and a half. I want to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Yet this song has taken on a new life. What is that process like for you?
You know what? It's not being afraid as an artist. It's not being afraid to do the promotions. And I say as an artist because, you know, I always tell myself that I hate when people say, artist, you know, because there's a stigma attached to that. You know, I mean, I'm a musician.
Mm-hmm.
But the point where you're an artist is when you're signed to a label, in my opinion, you know, and you have to carry out the duties as an artist and the obligations as an artist. And that means making the appearances, you know, doing the interviews, talking to people, going to anywhere you want your music to reach, you know, just not being afraid of doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard, you know, but you have to do it.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that was a big part of the formula that worked, you know, and people became interested in what it was. Because if you were willing to travel from Jamaica to my country to promote this thing, okay, let me see what it is and what it's about.
What was it like when the song was a hit in Europe, which was basically last year, right?
Exactly, but we didn't start, you know, we didn't start going to Europe until like February, I think, you know, and that we visited Sweden first because it was like 4 times platinum there. You know, I was surprised with a plaque.
You say it so casually, yeah. Like, yeah, we stopped by Sweden. It was 4 times platinum.
You know, and I mean, I was pretty excited, you know. And every time it happens, I get more and more excited. Yeah. You know, it's like it never gets old, and I become more humbled by it and more appreciative.
Yeah, yeah. When you wrote this song, what was there a cheerleader in mind?
I want to tell you that this wasn't even supposed to be a song. This was like a concept. I was in the process of developing my catalog. And I had this idea that I wanted to do an interlude, you know, not a whole song. It was supposed to be short. There wasn't supposed to be a beat underneath it. There wasn't supposed to be any live music, just vocals. And this was the whole idea. When I met my manager, he said, no, we need to make this into a song.
Yeah.
You know, you need to write another verse and, you know, make it longer and we're going to put a beat. You know, and he brought in Sly Dunbar, and he brought in Dean Fraser, played horns on it, Sly played drums, and, you know, it was just so creative, and that energy, you know, different talents coming in to make this happen, and he said, this is going to be a hit.
Yeah.
You know, and it was, you know, but we knew it had the potential to do a lot more.
At what point did you see, I mean, the song's been steadily growing in North America over the past couple months. It was a number one hit other places, but was there a moment you can remember where you were like, wow, this actually really could happen in the US?
Most definitely. There were all right, when I was in the UK, before I became platinum in the UK and before we broke the record of being like the first Jamaican to have the song on that, you know, number one spot for like 4 weeks, mm-hmm. and then we went platinum. I was like, okay, UK, the US can't be too far, you know, that was that point, you know, and I know that we were steadily growing and, you know, it just all felt so positive, mm-hmm. and there was so much to look forward to. And I also saw the drive and determination, you know, of the team and how psyched they were about it and passionate, you know, and that also got me a little bit more passionate and psyched about it because, you know, after traveling so much, your energy starts to drain and, you know.
Yeah.
But they were hyped up about it, and I really appreciate that. You
yeah.
know?
I wanted to ask about the lyrics of the song because I find it interesting, just a lot of, like, internet chatter and whatnot.
Right.
A lot of people take a line like, she's my genie in a bottle. And it's mm-hmm. like, well, you know, women shouldn't just be, like, genies in bottles. And mm-hmm. I'm curious as to what you think about that, like, that kind of male-female, like, gender dynamic, mm-hmm. and if, mm-hmm. you know, it's a fun dance song, but people are really thinking about these things. What do you think about something like
well,
that?
Well, you know what? I sing from this perspective. I'm singing to a female. Mm-hmm. Now, a female can sing the same song and dedicate it to a male. What more can I say?
There are male cheerleaders.
Exactly, you know? So it's not a case where, you know, it's gender, what you'd call it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty straightforward song. And it's really paying tribute to that supporting factor in your life. You know what I mean? So that's what it's about.
Do you have strong females in your life supporting you as
my mom is like my biggest cheerleader, man.
Yeah.
That's my awesome. Mom is like my biggest cheerleader. She has believed in me from day one, literally.
She's still in Jamaica?
Yeah, she's still in Jamaica. She just picked up where my dad left off, you know, and she, you know, did both jobs, being a mom and a dad. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, makes you respect a woman and the strength of a woman and, you know, just adore that.
Very cool, man. So last thing I want to ask about, you have some shows coming up. You performed last night
mm-hmm.
on television, and now you're performing tonight in New York. We're taping this in New York.
Yeah.
Do you like the U.S.? Do you
No,
do you
I love the U.S. And, you know, being a performer, you know, you perform in so many different countries, and, you know, some of the countries have, you know, they have like a language barrier, you know,
yeah.
so to speak. And they might not be able to speak English, but they can sing the songs word for word. It's weird. Don't ask me how, you know, but they're able to do that, you know, and which I really applaud, you know. But in the U.S., they also speak English. So it makes it, you know, a little bit easier to convey the messages of the, you know, songs and so forth.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're happy to have you, man.
Thank you so much. You're dominating the
U.S. charts. Seriously, congrats. And it's been so cool having you come in on the week the song goes number one. So
thank you.
Thanks, man.
I think that I found myself a cheerleader. She is always right there when I need her.
So congrats again to Omi, and thanks to him for stopping by. It was kind of fortuitous timing. We had this, you know, I've been saying for weeks that we got to get Omi on the Pop Shop podcast, man. And it just
look
sort
how
of
that worked out.
Yeah, look how it worked out, where the song is number one this week and now he's on the podcast. Keith, are you ready?
I am.
For your chart stat of the week.
Hey. So this week in 1980, meaning 35 years ago, on July 19th, 1980, Billy Joel, the piano man, got his first number one single on the Billboard Hot 100 with, can you guess actually, Jason, what the song was? Because I haven't actually prepped Jason the verse for this, so maybe he can take a wild stab here.
Oh, man. I'm going to admit, I am not a Billy Joel guy. And I'm not even going to try.
You'd be guessing We Didn't Start the Fire, probably.
No, I know. Actually, I know enough to know that would not be his first big hit, but anyway.
Anyway, so his first number one actually was It's Still Rock and Roll to Me.
Okay.
Anyway, there's a new... Anyway, I'm not going to sing it for you because clearly I can't remember the lyrics. Keep going, man. It's funny. It's one of those songs where, like, I know how it goes, but I can't think of the actual lyrics. Anyway, so yeah, he got his first number one this week in 1980. He's actually had a total of 3 number one hits. He later followed that up with Tell Her About It in 1983, mm-hmm. and the song I mentioned a moment ago, We Didn't Start the Fire, in 1989. He's actually had a total of 42 hits on the Hot 100 chart, but sadly has essentially hung up his sort of pop songwriting, pop-making music hat ever since basically the early to mid-90s. He still tours and still plays music, but he's mostly focused on creating other kinds of music and not pop music. So there you go. This week in 1980, Billy Joel got his first number one hit with It's Still Rock and Roll to Me.
Thank you, Keith, for your chart stat of the week. Keith, are you... quick question before we... wrap this up. Billy Joel or Elton John?
Am I a Billy Joel fan?
Billy Joel or Elton John? I always have this debate with people.
Well, they tour a lot, you know. Mm-hmm. They're friends.
They're pals.
Man. Gee whiz. You know, I feel like a little bit Elton. I feel like I know more Elton and I probably like more Elton stuff. But Billy is amazing. If you get anything to start with, just get his Essential Billy Joel album or The Greatest Hits Volumes 1 and 2. I mean, it's just so good. And he made such like his albums. Like, he's like a stellar album artist too. But he also makes incredible hit singles. Elton, hit after hit after hit after hit, especially in the 70s and 80s. It's just sort of insane. They're both amazing.
I'm an Elton guy. That's why I ask. But
Elton's also a big chart geek, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, I actually did know that about him. It's funny.
I believe he probably still subscribes. He certainly used to Billboard. He's a big Billboard follower. He knows his chart stuff.
I wonder what he thinks of Omi's cheerleader.
I don't know. Let's try to get him on the podcast.
Let's do it.
So I think it could happen. I mean that in all seriousness, especially because it's like Billboard. You never know.
You never know, man.
Billy probably not so much.
We're sending out some positive vibes to Elton John. Keith, before we wrap up, what we just taped is episode 99 of the Pop Shop podcast. Next week,
hope we're counting them right.
I hope so too.
No one will tell us any different.
But next week is episode 100. We're gonna have some very special guests on. I'm pumped, man. We've been teasing it for a few weeks, and I couldn't be more excited. And yeah, man, I hope you're excited too.
Considering that we've been talking about this for months, and we've been planning our plan of attack for months. I'm super stoked too, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I hope you guys that are listening will join us in the celebration of 100 magical episodes of Bop Shop Podcast.
They really are magical. So they come the 100th episode.
Maybe the first few were a little bit wonky. Don't go listen to those. But in general, they're
We should play like snippets from the first one.
Good Lord, no.
That was like it was October 2013. It was right around I think like Bangers came out. It was somewhere right around there. So it's been a long time.
I know at one point I talked about going to Cher's house and interviewing
you
her.
Did.
I think that was in the first or second episode.
Kind of set the vibe for the Pop Shop podcast. No, it did. It was, you know, we are the podcast that goes to Cher's house in the best way possible.
This was Billboard's first podcast, and now look at how many freaking podcasts we got. We got like 30 of them. They keep having kids and reproducing.
It's true. So tune in then. It's going to come out July 23rd in the morning, and we can't wait to share it with you. Keith, do you have any parting words?
My parting word was, it's too bad I couldn't actually be live with you to do the podcast face-to-face, the 100th episode. It's too bad we couldn't make that
happen. I know. Well, I'm going to be in Chicago this coming week. Where I'm kind of getting halfway to you. I'm going to Chicago.
Yeah, That's still not face to face.
Meet me halfway.
That's a nice sentiment.
Yeah, it's true. Keith, do you have any parting words aside from that?
No, I don't have any actual real parting words.
All right, man, let's go out on Believe by Cher. Thanks for listening. We will see you for the 100th episode next week, and take care. Do you believe in life
after love? It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.